Chapter 7. Pursuit. This chapter discusses pursuit and its general considerations. It then discusses organization of forces, control measures, planning, and the execution of a pursuit. General considerations for a pursuit. A pursuit is a type of offensive operation to catch or cut off a disorganized hostile force attempting to escape, with the aim of destroying it. Pursuit operations begin when an enemy force loses internal cohesion and is unable to mount an organized defense. A pursuit leaves enemy forces trapped, unprepared, unable to defend, and faced with the options of surrender or destruction. Pursuits include the rapid shifting of units, continuous day and night movements, hasty attacks, containment of bypassed enemy forces, large numbers of prisoners, and a willingness to forego some synchronization to maintain pressure on a fleeing enemy. Pursuits require swift maneuver and attacks by friendly forces to strike the enemy forces' most vulnerable areas. A successful pursuit requires flexible forces, initiative by commanders at all echelons, and a high tempo during execution. A pursuit focuses on the complete destruction of fleeing enemy force. Attriting hostile forces on their locks does not effectively ensure the destruction of an enemy force. Units in a pursuit try to combine direct pressure against fleeing forces with an enveloping or encircling maneuver to prevent the enemy force from fleeing. This fixes the enemy force in positions where the enemy force can be defeated in detail. If it becomes apparent that enemy resistance has broken down entirely and the enemy is fleeing the battlefield, any offensive operation can transition to a pursuit. Conducting a pursuit requires a deliberate decision by a commander, as friendly forces face increased risk of becoming isolated and encircled by the enemy. Typically, corps and division commanders order subordinate units to conduct a pursuit. Once the pursuit begins, the subordinate unit maintains contact with the enemy forces and pursues fleeing enemy forces without further orders. The unit maintains the pursuit as long as the enemy force appears disorganized. The attacker risks becoming disorganized if they move too quickly. To sustain the pursuit, units must be prepared for increased physical and mental effort. Units must be aware of any approaching culmination points. Enemy forces are usually displacing back to their supply bases and potentially their own forces, while friendly forces become less effective as they expend resources faster than they can replace them. Reasons to stop a pursuit may include the presence of reorganized enemy forces, increased enemy resistance, fatigue, a lack of supplies, inability to secure flanks, a diversion of friendly units to security missions, the need to contain bypassed enemy units, inability to maintain adequate contact with adjacent friendly units. The unit staff should develop a decision support template that depicts decision points, timelines associated with the movement of forces and the flow of the operation, and other relevant information before the unit reaches an unidentified culmination point. Organization of forces for a pursuit. Normally, commanders do not organize specifically for pursuit operations ahead of time, although unit staffs may plan for a pursuit as a branch or sequel to the current order. Therefore, units must be flexible to react when the situation presents itself. A unit's maneuver and sustainment forces continue their ongoing activities, while the commander readjusts priorities to better support the pursuit and ensures subordinate units are as self-sufficient as resources permit. Units request and acquire additional support from higher echelon headquarters based on the mission variables. For most pursuits, commanders assign subordinate forces security, direct pressure, encircling, follow and support, and reserve missions. The direct pressure force is a force employed in a pursuit that orients on the enemy main body to prevent enemy disengagement or defensive reconstitution. The encircling force is the force that maneuvers to the rear or flank of the enemy to prevent the enemy's escape. The enemy can be destroyed between the direct pressure force and encircling force. The encircling force advances or flies along routes parallel to the enemy's line of retreat. If the encircling force cannot outdistance the enemy to cut the enemy off, the encircling force may also attack the flank of a retreating enemy. Given sufficient resources, units can assign more than one force the encirclement mission. The subordinate unit assigned the follow and support mission polices the battlefield to prevent the dissipation of the combat power of the unit assigned the direct pressure mission. Reserves allow commanders to take advantage of unforeseen opportunities or respond to enemy counterattacks. There are two variations of a pursuit. Each involves assigning a subordinate the mission of maintaining direct pressure on the rearward moving enemy force. The first is a frontal pursuit that employs only direct pressure. The second is a combination that uses one subordinate element to maintain direct pressure and one or more other subordinate forces to encircling the retrograding enemy force. The combination pursuit is generally more effective. Either the subordinate applying direct pressure or the subordinate conducting the encirclement can be conducting the main effort in a combination pursuit. The force providing direct pressure must be strong enough to defeat enemy rearguard actions and maintain pressure on the enemy's main body. It forces the enemy force to deploy frequently in an attempt to delay the advance of the force applying direct pressure and restricts the enemy force's ability to break contact. The force applying direct pressure must be as mobile as the enemy force. Armored and striker units are ideally suited to this role in open terrain, but commanders can employ dismounted infantry forces if the enemy force is also dismounted and the terrain prevents the use of more mobile forces. The encircling force's mobility must be equal, preferably superior, to the withdrawing enemy force. If there is no inherent mobility differential, units must create one. This differential can also result from the force applying direct pressure to force the enemy force to deploy. Units can also enhance and sometimes create this mobility advantage by conducting counter-mobility operations against the enemy force, specifically targeting locations, including choke points or bridges, that hinder the fleeing enemy force's withdrawal. Armored, air assault, and airborne forces are well suited for this encircling mission. Attack aviation elements are also effective when used as part of this encircling force. The encircling force must be strong enough to defend itself from the enemy force's main body and slow or fix the enemy force until the friendly force applying direct pressure can combine with the encircling force to destroy the enemy force. It must be capable of mounting a hasty defense without placing itself at risk of defeat. The force conducting the encirclement must be self-contained since it normally operates out of supporting range of friendly indirect fire systems. Therefore, it frequently has additional supporting artillery. The primary mission of this encircling force is to prevent the enemy force's escape, but commanders can assign other missions to their forces conducting the encirclement. These other missions can include detecting or identifying weapons of mass destruction and marking the site for sensitive site exploitation, linking up with airborne or air assault forces in their airheads, reporting terrain conditions and other combat information beyond what is normally addressed in the unit standard operating procedures. Direct pressure and encircling forces require engineer support to create lanes through obstacles, which enables them to move rapidly and continuously. Units should place combat engineers well forward in unit movement formations to breach any unpassable obstacles quickly. Engineers accompanying the encircling force must also be prepared to conduct survivability tasks. Frontal pursuit. In a frontal pursuit, units employ a single force to maintain direct pressure on the fleeing enemy along the same routes used by that enemy. Commanders choose this option in two situations. The first is when they cannot create a subordinate force with a sufficient mobility advantage to get behind a retrograding enemy force. The second is when they cannot provide enough resources to the force conducting the encirclement to allow that force to survive and sustain itself until achieving link-up with the direct pressure force. Either situation can occur because of restrictive terrain or because an enemy force withdraws in a disciplined, cohesive formation and still has significant combat power. Combination pursuit. In the combination pursuit, a direct pressure force and an encircling force work together to destroy the enemy. The direct pressure force normally conducts a series of attacks to slow the enemy force's retirement by forcing the enemy force to stand and defend. In the combination pursuit, the force providing direct pressure initiates a frontal pursuit immediately on discovering the enemy force fleeing from the battlefield. This slows the tempo of the enemy force's withdrawal, or fixes the enemy force in its current position if possible, and may destroy the enemy's rear security force. By maintaining constant pressure, the force providing direct pressure helps to maintain conditions necessary for the success of the force conducting the envelopment operation. This latter force advances or flies along routes parallel to the fleeing enemy force. If the encircling force cannot outdistance the enemy force to cut the enemy force off, the encircling force may also attack the flank of a fleeing enemy force. The force conducting the encircling operation conducts an envelopment or a turning movement to position itself where it can block the enemy force's escape and trap the enemy force between the direct pressure force and the encircling force. Control measures for a pursuit. Pursuit control measures should be flexible and allow adjustments to reflect changing conditions. Units use control measures in the pursuit to retain tactical options to converge on the most important axis or to redirect the pursuit effort on a new axis. Provide subordinate units as much freedom of action as possible, consistent with security and maintenance of command integrity. Provide units the flexibility to engage enemy reserves or counterattack forces. Prevent fratricide. Commanders employ centralized planning and decentralized execution during a pursuit. They balance the need to prevent fratricide and friendly fire incidents with the need to allow subordinates to take advantage of fleeting opportunities in a pursuit with rapidly moving forces and an evolving situation. Commanders designate assigned areas for each maneuver unit involved in the pursuit. During a pursuit, they establish few control measures for the direct pressure force other than phase lines, checkpoints, and some fire control measures such as a restrictive fire line. Units use phase lines to designate a forward and rearward boundary for the direct pressure force. The forward boundary relieves the direct pressure force of any responsibility beyond the forward boundary. It also gives the higher echelon headquarters flexibility to coordinate with the encircling force and address enemy elements located beyond that forward boundary. The rear boundary becomes the boundary between the direct pressure force and the follow and support force. If the encircling force is a ground element, the control measures are almost identical to those used during an envelopment. Units designate routes, axis of advance, or assigned areas adjacent to that of direct pressure forces to allow the encircling force to move parallel to retrograding enemy forces and eventually move ahead of those enemy forces. Commanders can designate terrain objectives as guides for encircling forces. However, commanders may change these objectives rapidly and frequently based on the progress of encircling forces and enemy actions. These objectives should be terrain features that provide encircling forces defensible terrain that enemy forces cannot easily bypass. Units often select choke points, such as defiles and bridges, as objectives for the encircling force. Units establish boundaries or RFLs between the forces conducting the encircling and direct pressure forces before those encircling forces reach their objectives. Other FSCMs should relieve encircling forces of unnecessary fire support coordination responsibilities. The overall commander directs security operations beyond those encircling forces, allowing them to engage retrograding enemy forces without devoting resources to flank and rear security. The overall commander establishes additional control measures to control the convergence of both elements of the friendly force, such as RFLs, phase lines, and contact points. Planning a pursuit. Units anticipate an enemy fleeing from the battlefield as either a branch or a sequel to the plan. The plan identifies possible forces for security, direct pressure, encircling, follow and support, and reserve, as well as issue an on-order or be-prepared mission to these forces. They should employ the maximum number of available maneuver forces in the pursuit. Units base the details of their plans on the enemy forces' anticipated actions, the formation of attacking troops, and the amount of planning time available. Commanders and staffs also consider possible routes the enemy force might use to flee from the battlefield. availability of information collection assets to detect enemy forces and acquire targets in depth, scheme of movement and maneuver, availability and condition of pursuit routes, availability of forces to keep the pressure on the enemy force until its destruction is complete, critical terrain features, use of reconnaissance and security forces, allocation of munitions and aviation support, availability of functional and multifunctional support and sustainment resources. Pursuit planning addresses the possibility of defending temporarily during operational pauses while preparing to continue the pursuit or to consolidate gains. However, using an operational pause generally results in the abandonment of the pursuit because the enemy force is able to use that time to organize a coherent defense. The pursuit plan results in forces prepared to conduct wide-ranging operations using all available maneuver assets throughout the assigned area to complete the destruction of the enemy force. Units must address how to detect the enemy force from fleeing the battlefield, otherwise the enemy force may succeed in reorganizing and establish a hasty defense. Units look for indicators of an enemy fleeing, such as when the enemy force lacks the capability to maintain its current position or cohesion, conducts limited local counterattacks, intensifies reconnaissance and intelligence efforts, increases the amount of rearward movements and changes the type of elements conducting them, especially by fire support and reserves, prepares facilities, installations, equipment, and supply stockpiles for demolition and destruction, decreases fire in intensity and effectiveness through the assigned area, increases fires in one or more individual portions of the front that do not relate to the developing situation or when the amount of defensive fires seems to be decreasing. The presence or absence of any of these signs may not necessarily indicate the start of a retrograde operation. The enemy force could be attempting to draw friendly forces into an ambush or setting up a counterattack as part of its defense. When commanders initiate a pursuit, they often create the encircling force from uncommitted or reserve elements. Normally, these forces do not have allocated fire support assets. Units plan how to redistribute fire support assets to support the encircling forces. Attack helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft are well suited to support the encircling force. Engineer mobility and countermobility assets sustain the rate of advance and hinder the enemy force's withdrawal. Engineers prepare the route of advance and support the lateral dispersion of units transitioning to the pursuit and the movement of the reserve. During the pursuit, units plan for engineers to provide assault bridging and emergency road repairs to sustain the tempo of the pursuit. Units also plan to use engineer assets to block any bypassed enemy forces' withdrawal routes by using anti-tank and command-operated mines, demolitions, and obstacles. Sustainment units plan for increased demand for fuel and maintenance as the tempo of operations increases. In the pursuit, priority for sustainment normally goes to units having the greatest success. Sustainment planners need to anticipate success since the depth of the pursuit depends on the capability of sustainment assets to support the operation. Units should plan to sustain as far forward as possible during the pursuit, including attaching bulk sustainment assets further down than normally considered. The sustainment elements supporting the pursuing force should be as mobile as possible. Sustainment planners support the pursuing force by coordinating items, such as providing casualty evacuation over unsecured routes. Units may need aerial resupply or well-secured convoys to support this force. Security for sustainment convoys and lines of communications are major planning considerations. Units use all available sustainment assets to provide essential support to the forces pursuing enemy forces. Preparing a pursuit. The considerations for preparing a pursuit are the same as an attack, which is outlined in Chapter 5. Executing a pursuit. The purpose of a pursuit is to destroy the enemy forces while the enemy force is disorganized and fleeing from the battlefield. This generally occurs by trapping enemy forces between direct pressure forces and encircling forces or a major geographic barrier, such as an unfordable river, followed by the enemy force's destruction. Timeliness in deciding to initiate a pursuit is critical to its success. If the enemy force begins to take flight undetected, it avoids the disruption that would come from the constant pressure resultant of a pursuit. Units should anticipate that enemy forces will flee at times of limited visibility. Units often conduct pursuits as a series of encirclements in which they intercept, isolate, and capture or destroy successive portions of a fleeing enemy force. Direct pressure forces conduct a series of hasty attacks to destroy any enemy forces executing security missions, maintain constant pressure on the enemy main body, and slow the rate at which enemy forces can flee. These forces fix, disrupt, and destroy enemy elements, provided such actions do not interfere with their primary mission of maintaining constant pressure on the enemy's main body. To maintain tempo, the direct pressure force can pass off large enemy forces to follow and support units if the bypassed enemy forces do not pose a significant risk to the direct pressure force on the fleeing enemy. Find the enemy. The echelon that discovers the enemy fleeing first acts to maintain contact with the enemy force across a wide area without waiting for orders from higher echelon headquarters. This ensures that the enemy force does not consolidate and reorganize into a unit capable of mounting an organized defense. These forces in contact constitute the core of the direct pressure force. As the situation permits, they reform into a movement column with reconnaissance and security elements in the lead and, if necessary, to the flank. During a pursuit, the intelligence effort is intensive. Information collection assets concentrate on all routes that enemy forces could use when conducting a retrograde operation. These assets report on the disposition of fleeing enemy forces and on the movement of the enemy reserves as the pursuit develops. The tactical situation during a pursuit may become obscure because of its depth. Much of the information needed during a pursuit concerns areas and activities beyond the fleeing enemy force. Therefore, the information provided by higher echelon information collection assets can give a commander an understanding of what is beyond the enemy force. However, commanders need to confirm this information with reconnaissance enablers. They can determine the rearward movement of enemy sustainment forces, the composition of retrograding forces and their direction of movement, the composition and direction of movement of enemy reserves, the nature of obstacles and intermediate defensive positions. Information about uncommitted enemy reserves and prepared positions is vital when a pursuit force may be approaching a culminating point. It may be the basis for terminating the pursuit. Fix the enemy. Keeping enemy forces from reconstituting and reorganizing an effective defense is critical to success. Constant pressure by direct pressure forces and echelon fire support systems disrupts and weakens enemy forces during a pursuit. Units use fires to keep pressure on enemy forces. They do not allow enemy commanders to adjust their forces freely to counter friendly force actions. Indirect and joint fires harass and disrupt the enemy forces' attempts to move engaged forces to the rear or bring previously uncommitted forces into action. In a pursuit, main efforts may include the ground maneuver of the direct pressure or the encircling force. Fire support targets in a pursuit include fires on enemy columns and troop or vehicle concentrations. Units may use fire support assets to repulse enemy counterattacks, destroy or delay enemy reserves, and destroy enemy fire support systems. They use all non-lethal and lethal effects at their disposal against the enemy force's C2 system as an integral part of fixing the enemy while they concentrate on destroying or degrading the enemy force's capability to reconstitute and synchronize an effective defense. Units fix fleeing enemy forces by pressuring enemy forces with maneuver or with non-lethal and lethal fires. Disruption of enemy C2 systems by direct pressure forces significantly degrades enemy force capabilities to counter friendly efforts. This makes the goal of fixing an enemy force much easier to accomplish. An enemy force attempts to use its reserves to re-establish the organization of its forces or facilitate the fleeing of enemy forces. Fixing enemy reserves is essential to the pursuit's success and is normally the focus of echelon-shaping operations. The direct pressure force fixes enemy reserves in place or slows them down so that they remain outside supporting distance until the destruction of the withdrawing enemy force. Finish the enemy. The overall commander of the pursuit normally combines the actions of a subordinate conducting a frontal pursuit to provide direct pressure on the fleeing enemy force with the actions of a second subordinate attempting to encircle that same fleeing enemy. The force providing direct pressure advances in a column formation as quickly as possible. After a successful penetration of a defending enemy force, existing gaps among the different elements of the force and the direct pressure force often increase. To prevent the vulnerability of open flanks, the overall commander can deploy uncommitted elements with a reserve mission where they can respond to flank dangers. The overall commander does not expect a uniform rate of advance on all axes. Some columns may move rapidly, while others may engage in penetrating the enemy force's rear guard defensive positions or opposing enemy counterattacks. The actions of the force applying direct pressure should facilitate the commitment of another force moving parallel to the rearward moving enemy force in an attempt to encircle that enemy force. The depth of the pursuit depends on the size of the forces involved. The commander directing the initiation of a pursuit informs the higher echelon commander of this intention. This allows the higher echelon headquarters to avoid desynchronizing other operations and ensures the necessary resources are devoted to the unit conducting the pursuit. The force providing direct pressure normally tasks its forward subordinate element to provide an advance guard to prevent enemy forces from ambushing its main body and to overrun or bypass small enemy forces. This advance guard moves on multiple routes. If it encounters enemy units beyond its capacity to defeat, it conducts actions on contact to develop the situation. The commander of the direct pressure force uses combat information from actions on contact to guide the main body to a position of advantage where it can seriously degrade or destroy the retrograding enemy force. The actions of the force providing direct pressure may or may not be in conjunction with the actions of any encircling force. The overall pursuit commander does everything possible to place a friendly force behind a retrograding enemy force to trap the bulk of the enemy force between the encircling force and the force providing direct pressure. The force providing direct pressure maintains enough pressure on the retrograding enemy force so that the encircling force can envelop it. To envelop the enemy force, the direct pressure force must be strong enough to overcome any enemy rearguard before the enemy's main body can complete its retrograde and reestablish a coherent defense. Once in position, the encircling force defends or attacks as necessary, responding to the enemy force's actions and those of the force providing direct pressure to complete the enemy force's isolation. If the enemy force succeeds in reorganizing and forming a perimeter, the pursuing unit should encircle the enemy force. See Appendix C for more information on encirclements. Follow through. Once a commander initiates a pursuit, it continues until a higher echelon commander terminates the pursuit or their intent and end state are achieved. This typically occurs when one of the following conditions are met. The pursuing force destroys or captures the enemy force and resistance ceases. The pursuing force fixes the enemy force for follow-on forces. That commander makes an assessment that the pursuing force is close to a culminating point. The higher echelon cannot support a pursuing force. Units often transition from a pursuit into other types of offensive and defensive actions. If the enemy force attempts to reorganize, forces conducting a pursuit execute hasty attacks. They conduct an exploitation to capitalize on the success of these attacks and then move back into pursuit. Forces conducting a pursuit may also transition into a defense if the pursuing force reaches a culminating point. This usually occurs when the enemy force introduces strong reinforcements to prepare for a counteroffensive. The higher echelon commander may transition to stability operations and begin consolidating gains if the pursuit successfully destroys the enemy force.